You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So with the FIFA World Cup set to kick off today in a couple of hours, probably even less than a couple of hours at this stage, thought we'd take a look at what this potentially means for the host countries of this year's World Cup. We already know the states of these economies in the form of the United States, Mexico and Canada, but we're going to take a bit of a deeper dive into what could potentially be the result of a World Cup across three countries. I'm joined on the line by the sector advisor at Allianz Trade, Maria Latore, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Maria, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Now, you and the team at Allianz have put together quite an interesting report that suggests that the FIFA World Cup this year could potentially provide almost $9 billion to the North American GDPs across the three countries. How did you arrive at that number? That's quite an interesting number.
Yes. Hello, Jimmy. Thanks for inviting me. Well, from a macroeconomic perspective, sporting events entail four types of spending which impact the GDP growth of the domestic economy. So the first one is, of course, foreign tourism spending. The second one is domestic tourism spending. The third one is security public administration spending, which is mostly government consumption. And the fourth is infrastructure spending investments. So in all, this event is expected to generate around $9.1 billion of GDP boost between June and July across the three nations. So the US is expected to capture the vast majority of the economic benefits simply because it hosts the majority of matches, 78 out of 104 matches in total. So relative to its economy, the effects will be small. So for the US, we estimate a GDP lift of around $6.1 billion, followed then by Mexico with a gain of $1.7 billion. And the last beneficiary will be Canada with a GDP boost of around $1.3 billion. So in terms of quarterly non-annualized GDP growth, which is mostly falling on Q3, this is expected to represent a boost of 0.1 percentage point above a counterfactual without FIFA World Cup in the US, a boost of 0.3 percentage point in Mexico, and 0.2 percentage point in Canada. So in a relative view, in a relative perspective, is not that huge, the economic boost of this sporty event.
Maria, when we compare these numbers that are projected, obviously we don't know what the end result will be because the World Cup hasn't yet taken place. But when we look at these numbers versus what we know from previous World Cups, where does this rank this particular World Cup?
Well, I would say that the main difference this time is the fact that this World Cup is going to test whether a World Cup can successfully evolve from a single country event into a distributed continental experience without sacrificing atmosphere, attendance, or commercial performance. So we are going to see or to witness something different, which is the fact that now we are including more nationalities this time. We are expanding from 32 to 48 teams and from 64 to 104 matches across 16 host cities and in three different countries. So this is going to be like an unprecedented event. So expectations are that in terms of TV viewers and in terms of stadium attendance, numbers are going to be higher. Still, this is, as you mentioned, the event has not started yet, so we cannot fully said what is going to be the real outcome of the attendance. But yeah, normally this World Cup has the capacity to host around 6.5 million attendance, considering that all the stadiums have on average a capacity of 65,000 people per stadiums, and assuming that all of them can be full at around 85 to 90% of their capacity.
Maria, I want to look at something that you touched on. You mentioned that when you measure the GDP impact of World Cups, you looked at a couple of factors, one of them being international tourism, the other being domestic tourism. You mentioned those as two separate factors, but I want to zoom in on the international tourism aspect of it. Leading up to this tournament, we've seen various reports around hotels and accommodations being half booked, match tickets being expensive. We haven't really seen the international uptick that might have been with other World Cups that have happened before. And alongside that, we've also seen most recently the likes of the United States making it exceptionally difficult for those that want to attend the World Cup to get in and out of America, from everything from visas to all of the other logistical arrangements around that. Do you think that that will have a significant impact on the international tourism aspect of the GDP we're expected to grow here?
Well, there are some early signs of uneven demand, but it's still early to say that the hospitality upside is overstated for this six-week event. For major global events like the World Cup, ticket sales and hotel bookings typically accelerate closer to match dates and are highly concentrated in key cities and fixtures. What we are more likely seeing is not a weaker overall outlook, but a more uneven distribution of demand across time and cities. So the hospitality sector should still see a meaningful uplift, but it will be more selective and match driven than uniform across all cities. In Mexico, for example, a weaker exchange rate, lower entry or border barriers, as you were mentioning, and the stronger football culture of the country are attracting more tourists. So in contrast, for example, we are seeing so far that in Canada, where more limited hotel capacities is likely to drive higher room prices, or in the US, for example, where stricter visa requirements may also deter some international visitors. But yeah, as you were mentioning, international visitors is an important boost for this GDP lift that these countries are going to experience. In our calculations, in our assumptions, tourism spending itself is expected to increase by $8 billion in North America in total, largely dominated by foreign spending, as I was saying. So indeed, the split is expected to be $6.8 billion in tourism export, this is foreign tourism spending, and then $1.2 billion in household consumption or domestic tourism spending. Then if we look by country, the split of the tourism spending benefit will be $5.4 billion of gains for the United States, $1.4 billion for Mexico, and $1.2 billion for Canada. And so if we look now, or if we go now to a sector level, the lodging sector is positioned to be among the clearest beneficiaries of the tournament, although outcome will vary considerably by city. For example, New York, Miami, Los Angeles, Dallas, and even San Francisco, those cities possess extensive hotel inventories and significant experience hosting large-scale international events. So these cities are likely to absorb demand relatively efficiently, while in contrast, cities such as, for example, Seattle or Vancouver, they may face more meaningful capacity constraints. Then if we continue with the sector angle, we have airlines, which are also clear winners of this tournament, supported by the constrained capacity, but also from their strong pricing power right now. But this is more a temporary event-driven boost than a structural improvement in the profitability of the sector overall. And then the sector of food and beverage will also benefit from strong but localized demand, specifically in fan zones or in match cities. And then, of course, the largest gain will also go to global TV media with broadcasting rights and advertising generating a lot of revenue as well for these companies.
So clearly there will be winners and losers in this World Cup regardless of its outcome, and we'll look forward to seeing how that shapes up or what that outcome does indeed look like as the World Cup kicks off in a couple of minutes at this point. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Maria Latorre, the sector advisor at Allianz Trade, joining us to take a look at their report that suggests that this World Cup could potentially add $9 billion to North American GDP.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.